You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
John!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot Route!
I don't. What is Hot Route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Down!
Come on!
Ready! Down! Set! Hut! 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 Hut!
Hit me!
Booyah! That's what we call a sacked lunch!
It's time for the Soonerscoop.com postgame show presented by Eskridge Lexus in Oklahoma City. Eskridge Lexus is the official travel partner of Soonerscoop.com podcasts. Now, here's your road crew, Carrie, Eddie, and Bob, wrapping up all the action and reaction from this week's game.
All right, welcome back. It is the Eskridge Lexus post-game show, the last of the regular season, the championship season. Congratulations to the Oklahoma Sooners, Big 12 champions once again, six times in a row. They win it over Iowa State today in hand-wringing fashion. Is they're able to hold off, and even though the offense didn't really do a whole lot in the second half, they win it 27-21, and a nail-biter at the end, but Trey Brown once again comes up with a huge play to seal the victory for the Sooners, and boy, that defensive line got their money's worth today because they were all over Brock Purdy all day long. Three interceptions on the day for Purdy. Spencer Rattler had nothing. Yes, Lincoln Riley was conservative as a play caller, and he was also conservative with his decisions. A lot of punting today. Reese Munchchow punted seven times today. That has to be a career high. I haven't even looked that up. But anyway, we welcome in Eddie Radosovich. Bob Prisbillo is getting the hell out of Arlington to head back home to wife and kids. So Eddie and I are here for the Eskridge Lexus postgame wrap-up show. And Eddie, boy, what did we see today? It was... It makes you wonder exactly what you watched at times. That game was definitely had multiple parts to it.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. A little bit improbable, if you will, as far as the way that this entire season has gone. And for, you know, an Oklahoma defense to kind of make a statement yet again in a big setting like that and to get a couple more turnovers when they really needed them, you know, the one in early in the game in the red zone. On Trey Norwood's interception, and then for Trey Brown to kind of seal the deal late with the game-winning interception. I don't know. I guess it's kind of the way that this thing was supposed to be. Both of those guys have been through just a little bit of everything as far as what Oklahoma has done defensively, both the highs and the lows. And, yeah, I mean, overall, just a incredible kind of an into a, you know, I guess a quote unquote, the regular portion of the season, and we'll see where they go bowling. But it was, you know, it was a really good football game, and, you know, credit to Iowa State. That's a really well-coached team. Obviously, you know, Matt Campbell, they have, they kind of have a special little something going on in Ames, but, you know, overall just six consecutive, that's unprecedented. For this team, and, you know, I think we talked about it on the U40. We might have even talked about it last week or, you know, on the last postgame podcast, just as far as for this team to get to a championship after the 1-2 or the 0-2 start in conference play, a hell of a coaching job. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to get into it, Carrie, as far as what the hell was going off on offensively. But at the same time, it's hard to sit here and bitch and complain about Oklahoma winning their sixth consecutive Big 12 title. It was an interesting season, I think, is probably the best way to say it.
For whatever reason, this offense really comes out of the gate. They've done it against everybody. They did it again today. They got a 14-point lead. Should have been even bigger, and Gabe Berkich misses a 36 field goal. Until he comes back and hits a 54-yard field goal, which is a story in and of itself. But, yeah, I mean, early in the game, they were a team that seem to have all the answers. Spencer Rattler was spreading the football around. He started out, I think he started at 8 of 8. I don't know if he went 9 of 9, but I knew he was 10 of 11 at some point. So he was dialed in. He even got luck on his side. He should have thrown an interception one time. It bounces up in the air, and Marvin Mims comes down with it. And he was making some throws, though, man, in that first half. He is not afraid to throw that into triple coverage colliding on a receiver. Like, he did that multiple times today.
A little bit more confidence when you got Jaden Hazelwood on the other end of it than maybe some other guys. But, yeah, you're right. I think Riley even said it after the game. I tweeted it midway through the second quarter. Is it weird to say, Kerry, that I was a little surprised just how comfortable Spencer Rattler was in the first and second quarters, just for the fact that they were coming off of that long layoff, not having played last week against West Virginia. They sputtered a little bit in the home regular season finale against Baylor, and you didn't really know what to expect. And then they come out, and all of a sudden it's 14-0. It could have been 21-0, 17-0, and things were kind of humming right along. And then all of a sudden they just hit this wall. And, you know, do they get conservative play calling wise when they get a big lead? Yeah, I think everybody kind of knows that. It's almost, I don't even know if it's a characteristic. It's just what it is of Lincoln Riley and the way that he calls a game. But I mean, come on, people, let's pump the brakes in talking about OU needs to go hire an offensive coordinator or OU needs to my God, you're a year removed from historically great offenses, and I think people forget, and I even thought it was a little bit of a surprise myself that, you know, after they lost in Ames on October 3rd, they averaged 46 points a game. I know that the last two outings weren't the sexiest in putting up 27-point performances, but my God, people, just be happy.
I mean, if there's one criticism, it's not Lincoln Riley's play calling. The criticism that hurt Oklahoma today, and I mean play calling hurt them, sure, but that's really execution, and I think I have more of an issue with Lincoln giving Ramondre Stevenson like 3 carries halfway through the fourth quarter in the second half. Like, he just, that was kind of typical Lincoln. That's what he always battles, is, you know, running the football, and they never got Ramondre Stevenson started, and to me that remains an offensive line issue. Like, we've seen this happen the last 2 years. Like, OU got to the playoff, and then you realize, okay, Swinson really wasn't the answer. Why does it... It takes them playing even better competition before, like, putting Chris Murray in for Tyrese Robinson. Like, that's been brewing all year long. Tyrese Robinson has not had a great year. And, you know, Eric Swinson was fine, but at the same time, you probably have someone more talented than Anton Harrison. Well, you definitely have someone more talented in Anton Harrison, even though he's young. It's like Bill Beedbo kind of needs to develop a little bit of that Alex Grinch rotation mentality. Like, okay, we're going to play these guys, these young guys, and get them up to where they can be effective for us, so I can yank guys like Tyrese Robinson, or I could yank a guy like Marquise Hayes if he was getting all the penalties he was, the personal fouls early in the season. He's kind of cut that out. But again, I mean, you know, I go back to this. I talked about this morning doing my pregame show. Like, Creed Humphrey, you know, he was the offensive lineman of the year, but I don't think you can find one OU fan that said, oh, yeah, he lived up to his potential this year.
Yeah, he had a rough year. I was a little surprised. And, I'm sure we'll get into the postseason awards in the comments from Lincoln Riley here in a little bit. But it's like almost, you know, I think a lot of the coaches at least might have just thrown names out there that seemed to be the biggest names in the up for the award or whatever. But it just it's really strange. And, you know, as a whole, Oklahoma, they underachieved a little bit on the offensive line this year, and they were able to move the ball and still produce, you know, a seemingly pretty damn good offense despite all of that. So it's, I don't know. I'm not definitely not concerned. Like, I think that they'll be able to figure out at some point. And it was kind of interesting that Harrison and even Chris Murray got in there on the final drive, and Murray had a really nice block on one of the Ramondre Stevenson runs there in the fourth quarter before you had to settle for a field goal. I don't know. Like, you want a good rotation up there, but at the same time, I'm sure that we've all heard it from Bill time and time again, just as far as building continuity up there. I guess that's maybe a problem if you're still trying to build continuity in what, the ninth game of the year. But for the most part, like, you look up in the first half, I think OU averaged 8 yards a play.
Yeah,
and then
no.
All of a sudden, in the second and in particularly the third quarter, they just could not get anything going. It seemed like that they had a flashback to what they did up in Ames back on October 3rd, where all of a sudden you look up and it's second and 11 because you lost a yard on first down, or third and nine or third and 10. And it's hard to move the sticks that way.
Well, you get sacked on third down, taking you out of field goal range. Then you have to punt instead of getting three there. And, Spencer, I mean, it was just like they never, after halftime, I go back to my biggest complaint about Lincoln today. It was they never, it's like if Ramondre Stevenson gets the ball on first down and it doesn't go anywhere, it's like, okay, we're giving up on that for a while. But yet he doesn't give up on letting Spencer Rattler throw the ball into triple coverage on third and nine. Like, it's just like, you can't be that way. I mean, you've got to believe in your run game. You got to believe in your offensive line. And like that last drive when they ended up kicking the field goal instead of going for it, or, you know, setting up trying at least to make it a two play, you know, a fourth down try.
Yeah, I thought that would have been the play to go with. I was shocked that they tried to throw it into the end zone to Hazelwood there. I figured you run the ball here twice, you run out you pick up a first down, run out the clock, game's over. You don't even have to go through all the BS that they did there on the Iowa State final possession. I was shocked, actually, that that's not what they tried to do.
Yeah, and I could see the other side of it, though, is like, you know, you make them go for a touchdown. You don't let them get a field goal. So I could kind of identify with that a little bit, but at the same time, I'm not, you know, they've got timeouts, and if you run it on third down, they've got to use a timeout instead of an incompletion in the end zone that ended up happening.
No doubt. It was, I don't know. You know, Kerry, I think often too, I tweeted it and caught a lot of hell for it, but Lincoln Riley's greatest achievement since he's arrived at Oklahoma might be the fact that Oklahoma fans now feel like they should be scoring every single possession. And I know we said it during the Kyler and the Baker years, as far as this is not normal what Oklahoma's doing offensively.
Right.
And they've gone through some growing pains this year. And when you think about, particularly here over the end of the back end of the schedule, when you don't have probably your go-to target in Austin Stogner, which I think Braden Willis has had a really nice
Had some huge plays there in the fourth quarter.
He had some really big grabs here over the last couple of weeks when Oklahoma's needed to move the sticks. I would imagine that most of his grabs have come on third down. You basically didn't have a season of Hazelwood because of the obvious, with him kind of coming into the lineup and then missing, what was that, the Baylor or the Kansas game. So they've battled through some, you know, I think some really big hiccups that a lot of other programs, if they were put into that situation, probably for sure not playing in Arlington today by any means.
Yeah. I mean, they started 0-2 in the conference. It was unprecedented that they even lost two games in a row.
And then you look at, like, statistically and offensively, it's like they still led the conference in offense. And this is, quote unquote, a down year.
By the way, the other thing about today is you would think, if you weren't looking at the stat sheets right now, that OU had about 7 sacks on Brock Purdy. They had 3. Now, they did have 6 quarterback hurries, but that was the most for a team that only gave up, what was it, 10 sacks coming in?
Yeah.
I mean, Brock Purdy was running for his life all day. And for a while there, the only offense they had was Brock Purdy pulling it down and running it. And then, I'll tell you what, Hutchinson is a hell of a receiver. He is one hell of a player.
He's really good. How many times was how many times was, like, Perrion Winfrey in the backfield today and just didn't even get a hand on Purdy?
Well, he did his face mask that one time.
He got a full hand on that. He almost decapitated him. But
and then
like,
Deshaun White pulling the guy's helmet off on that last drive. Oh my God!
If Iowa State scores a touchdown there, I thought that was the play that you can't give up. You couldn't give up the 15 yards there, like a big chunk play for them to be able to start taking shots further down the field. And, you know, credit to that front seven, because I think everybody noticed that they were getting gassed up front. They were tired. I mean, they were on the field basically the entire second half, and to finally get a little bit of pressure, Benito there on the Rover on the final interception. That was all about Oklahoma's defensive line and putting pressure on Purdy to try and make a play. So
yeah, they hit his arm.
Defensively, it's pretty damn amazing to watch this defense flying around and then remember where this group was even 2 years ago. I mean, it's night and day difference.
And it's another thing, like, you know, you see Trey Norwood starting over Buki and you're like, we've been saying that for a long time, that that's what you should do. Like, sure. And it worked fantastically. And I mean, Buki played a lot, but he was still essentially a role player out there. But I'll say this. The most impressive thing tonight, might have even been more impressive than the pass rush, was limiting Breece Hall. I mean, he could do nothing today. Ends up with, what, 79 yards, I believe?
Yes, 23 carries for, what was it? Oh, I had it right here.
23 carries for 79 yards.
79 yards, two touchdowns, an average of 3.4 a carry. I mean, and
longest run of the day was 15 yards. Yeah, Brock Purdy had a longer run than he did.
I thought, and Dallin Turner Yell saved one because he kind of caught him up. I thought Turner Yell played pretty damn well today too.
He did.
They didn't miss any tackles today, and it was just a dominant. I don't know about dominant, but it was a very solid defensive performance out of Alex Grinch's group. They really started to play well towards the end of the year.
And you know, one thing that we left out that probably should have been the first thing we talked about, the kickoff returns by Trey Brown today. Just fantastic. Yeah. And of course, that's why Louisiana beat Iowa State early in the season, because was it three kicks they returned in that game? And Trey Brown...
Was it the kick return, and then they had a did they have a punt return? I think maybe.
Yeah.
But and not only just the his ability to return the kicks, it was at the moments that they came.
Yeah.
Like changing the momentum right before halftime, getting OU right back in it after Iowa State had scored, and then obviously there at the end. But it was. I mean, he was solid. He was unbelievable. He has a knack for making the big play in the Big 12 championship game, going all the way back to, obviously the 2018 safety against Texas, and then running down the Baylor kid last year to save a touchdown. And then his play today was phenomenal.
And, of course, Marvin Mims was fantastic. Led all receivers, 7 catches, 101 yards, 15 yards after the catch. That's just total. Long of 45, and that was the touchdown, which was very much needed, and that was the biggest play of the day, just from a scoring perspective. It was really the only explosive kind of time they got out and just burnt that Iowa State defense. But
yeah,
I mean, it was just everybody played really, really well, and it was good to see, almost good to see Trajan Bridges catch a touchdown pass.
Oh my God. Twitter would have, if that would have been his only reception this season, that would have been amazing. And it was close. It was so close. I mean, that was a good ball from Rattler. I thought Rattler was excellent today. He was absolutely flawless there for a good amount of the first half. I thought he was excellent.
Well, and you know, now I know everybody says, well, what happens now? I mean, Clemson is killing Notre Dame. I don't know if that would be enough to knock them out of the playoff. But what do you do with Ohio State? They just get by thanks to who? Trey Sermon, who had like 300 yards rushing today. My God.
I was flipping back and forth in between that and the OU game, and every time I flipped it on, he looked like Samaje Perine against Kansas. Nobody was touching him for 10, 15 yards at a time.
That's just amazing.
Good for him, though. That's cool to see.
I think you have to question whether Ohio State should be in. I mean, they struggled mightily in that game. Justin Fields played terrible.
It is going to be super interesting to see what they do. And, you know, I think obviously A&M is going to feel like they have every right to get in. Whatever. I don't know. I mean, congratulations on beating a really terrible division. I know that they were pounding their chests about beating the mighty Tennessee Volunteers today. It'll be interesting come 11 noon, whatever time that show starts on Sunday.
I mean, so you have a chance in this thing? I mean, A&M, you look at their record and who they beaten, it's only Florida.
My immediate reaction is not just a no, but a hell no. I don't know. I mean, I guess crazier things have happened, but I think that this is, right or wrong, I think there will be a little bit of Oklahoma fatigue just as far as because they weren't in that quote-unquote top tier going into this weekend. I don't know if.
Although, if they would have
just blown out Iowa State, I would be more open to the conversation. I still have a hard time thinking this committee will make the move and kick Notre Dame out.
Yeah, here's the only reason I think OU might have a chance. It's because that committee has spent the last 4 years shredding Oklahoma for their defense.
Sure.
And making that a reason why, you know, they shouldn't be included. So now that the defense is actually better than the offense, does that give them a chance? That's my only question.
That would be something. I just don't think it'll happen.
I don't either.
But, and, you know, the
Alabama's got to kill Florida tonight, too. So,
yeah. And if Oklahoma, say that they're not in the college football playoff, which I think is, it's fair to say they're a long shot to get in. Cotton Bowl versus Florida, is that probably what you're looking at if Florida gets beat by Alabama tonight?
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Well, Kyle Trask,
I just wouldn't want to see A&M getting beat. I wouldn't want to see A&M getting in.
Because it seemed like A&M might be going to a New Year's Six Bowl if they don't get in. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I guess maybe A&M would take that spot. OU, A&M, and the Cotton Bowl would be pretty damn sexy for a lot of people around here.
Oh, man. About 12th man in Edmond.
You could shut
him up.
I hate him
for
so
a
much.
Very, very long time. I've blocked him, so I don't know.
No, it's got to be too much. It became a mental health issue.
Yeah.
You guys insane.
No, I've done that more and more lately.
I was pretty surprised that, I guess I can't say surprised, but Clemson just came out and kicked the shit out of Notre Dame in the first half. It was kind of over before it even began.
They got Trevor Lawrence, and they're healthy.
Clemson looks damn good.
That was just such a good Big 12 championship game. I mean,
yeah, it was a great game.
That has to be the best, right?
Oh, and I mean, how can we go this long? How can we go 23 minutes so far without mentioning Matt Campbell absolutely losing it?
That was disturbing. I mean, look, and he had every right to be upset.
We've been at games, Kerry, where you go, we watch something and you go, oh, that looked like it was a lot closer than it really was. And then, you know, you might talk to somebody that's back at home watching it on television and they say, yeah, it was the right call. He didn't touch him. Like, I was surprised that nobody came and said that. And even if they did, I almost think it was like more of a mental warfare. I'm fighting for my team right now type thing.
Yeah, but it went way over the line. He went insane, like lost his mind. I know Mike Stoops has lost his mind. Yeah, you know, I know Bob Stoops. I know that thing with Tom Herman fighting with Mike Gundy. I've never seen a guy go after officials like that and then not get flagged for it.
It was crazy. And it was the right call, right? Like, oh, they jumped for sure, but.
But they should have snapped the ball. Yeah.
Not back. Yeah, you got to snap the ball.
And here's the other thing. Everybody's going on and on about the hit that got Ashim, what's his name, thrown out of the ball game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if it was the shoulder pad. He almost took Drake Stoops' head off as he was falling backwards.
It's a terrible situation. Is it targeting? No, it's not. But he's defenseless, and it's the letter of the law. I mean, that's why they have the penalty there. That's why they have the rule there. It's a shitty thing that you have to stay away from if you're a defensive back.
I hate those on both sides where a guy is falling down and his momentum takes you into a guy's helmet or shoulder or whatever. But that's just one of those things. Like, you just got to be smart. I mean, he was down, going down to the ground. You just got to pull up, knowing that he's going down.
Hell, I thought the no targeting call on Marvin Mims on the punt return when the long snapper hit him.
Yeah,
that was almost more targeting by the letter of the law.
No, I agree. But then, I don't know. We see those replays all the time, and you think it's targeting, and it's not. And I'm just like, what the hell? I don't understand the rule. Yeah. Obviously,
sure.
But it was a
hell of a game, though. Like, that's what you want in a title game, is it not? I mean, like, down to the wire, down to the final possession, guys making big plays when it matters the most. I was fairly entertained today. I'd probably be saying the same thing if OU got beat, too.
Yeah, I think it's just, you're not going to get OU fans. There's a result that only, you know, some fans will handle, and that would have been OU putting the foot on the gas pedal and just scoring at will every time they touch the ball in the second, which didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, there's just, and I think that we've talked about this before, but, right or wrong, and, I think everybody inside the Oklahoma football program would tell you differently, but there's a general thought amongst the fan base that, winning a Big 12 is just kind of is what it is. It's not even really celebrated that much by a certain segment of the fan base because it's almost expected. And, when expectations are high at a program like OU, that's understandable to a certain extent, but it's kind of like what Riley said after the game, just as far as, like,
you started out 0-2. You started out 0-2. Have some perspective. Like, yeah, this year could have gone really. There was a point this year where someone asked Lincoln Riley in the middle of the season if he was playing for next year, if he was,
And they did all this during a pandemic in which you didn't know who was going to be in, who was going to be out each week.
Like, with a brand new quarterback.
This is one of the most improbable Oklahoma Big 12 championships out of the bunch. Like, it's almost kind of insane. There's no way that they should have been in this thing.
The thing about it is, though, this is a really good team, though, at the end of it. Like, when OU won it with Paul Thompson at quarterback, they did it a different way. They became a completely different team. They ran the ball. They were big and physical, great offensive line. They played defense. But they were kind of like Iowa State, in how they played, the pace of what they played. And then they went, they got beat by Boise. And that's probably the greatest Boise team that's ever existed and maybe Bob Stoops' weakest Big 12 champion. I don't think there's any question. That was his least talented Big 12 championship team.
Yeah. Oh, and it took, my God. I guess obviously Marcus Walker has to pick off the ball to even be put in that position, but it also took maybe one of the greatest endings in the history of a college football game to get there.
Yeah. But, this was a team, they weren't just scrapping to get by. They were a really good team at the end of the year. And they beat, the Kansas State loss still, I have no idea how to explain how that happened or why it happened, but that is so fluky. It can't be. They lost to Iowa State for a reason. They weren't the better team that night. They didn't play well on defense. They gave up too many big plays. Breece Hall just took it at them. Tonight, they were more physical, although Iowa State's really physical. They were just better on both sides of the ball, except for, I would say that the receiver, his name is escaping me.
Hutchinson
is like the one guy you're like, yeah, he could play for OU. And obviously Charlie Kohler is a guy that anybody would love to have.
Sure.
But the better quarterback was Spencer Rattler. The better running back, even though he's not, obviously. But Ramondre Stevenson was the better running back tonight. And that has to do with defense and all that stuff. But they found Braden Willis. They found Ramondre Stevenson in the end. They got a big play from Jaden Hazelwood that really mattered. Marvin Mims was fantastic. Theo Weiss, didn't really flash tonight. for the first time in a long time. And he had some opportunities, but didn't make, you know, any big catches. And, you know, outside of that, the offensive line was a little bit better, but nothing to write home about. It's just, I mean, on defense is where the difference was. Oklahoma was so much better up front than any other unit on that field, offensively or defensively. That was the difference.
Yeah, they held the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. I mean, they shut him down. You end the game with, what was it, 89?
79 yards, yeah.
I mean, my God, I mean, that's exactly what you...
He'd never not run for 90 in a game, I think it was.
I mean, OU is almost a year and a half removed from giving up 40 points and almost 300 yards to Puka Williams. And that's not a hit on Puka Williams, but it's just kind of a sign of where this thing was. And I if you look big picture at this thing, and I think that there's a lot of people that have been saying this, and it's not news to anybody that's listening to this or, you know, that listens to the U40 or anything like that. It's like, for OU to still be on top after a season like this, like, watch out. The next couple years, you should not have just expectations to win the Big 12. You should have very real expectations to compete for a national title. And you're somewhat in that conversation in a year that you took a step. You were supposed to take a step back.
Yeah.
You're supposed to not be as good. You weren't supposed to have a historically good offense, and you end up still with the best offense in the league, in a offense that is ranked in the top, you know, 20 in the country. Like, it's okay to have a one out season where you take a little bit of a step back, and like, Oklahoma's step back was still winning a Big 12 title. And I mean, there's just not a lot of places that can say that. If I'm a, you know, a fan of a Texas or a Oklahoma State or wherever, Iowa State for that matter, because I think that, you know, as long as Matt Campbell's there, they're going to be in the conversation. Like, it's almost a hopeless feeling and a helpless feeling. Like, I don't know what it's going to take to knock OU off of this conference. And, you know, I guess that opens the conversation. Is the Big 12 good? Yada, 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 whatever you want to say. It's just, it kind of is what it is.
Well, and I didn't want to, you know, really waste my questions tonight on the future. I figure we'll have time to do that. I mean, think about this, Eddie. They're playing bowl games Monday. It's when it starts. I mean,
yeah.
This game is usually December 7th. It's now December 19th. I mean, the Cotton Bowl is December 30th. So you're basically a little bit more than a game week if they get announced to go to the Cotton Bowl. And then you're playing football again. So, you know, today I really wanted to get in the question about the All Big 12 team because everybody was talking about it. And the players were obviously tweeting about it, and I wondered how Lincoln Riley took it. So let me play that. Here's Lincoln Riley after the game.
Lincoln, I want to ask you about it because all the fans were talking about it. Your players were talking about it. What were your thoughts when you first saw the All Big 12 team? Was there some disappointment? Was there anger? Did you think maybe there was some gamesmanship involved there?
I'm glad they did it. Whoever did it, I need to send them a gift basket.
Well, it's all the other coaches, right?
It was. I appreciate all those guys. No, it was. No, yeah, we were. It's not why we do it, but we were pissed, disappointed for our players because we had some guys that no doubt should have been on that. And I mean, if you looked at all Big 12 team, it's amazing we won a game. So, I mean, that's. You know, I know it was a weird year, and you know, some guys didn't play some games and this and that. But yeah, you got the best defense in the league here that doesn't have one guy on the first team. We missed the boat there. But you know what? At the end of the day, you give us a choice between all Big 12 teams and this trophy. I know what each one of us in that room would choose. And I know the kind of players we have in there. And there's a lot of first-team all-league and even more players in that locker room right now.
And see, Eddie, I kind of thought about it a lot more. And I'm wondering, like, if that is not – the only thing that coaches have left to use as negative recruiting against Oklahoma is just to not put their players on the first team. Like,
are
because
this is a conspiracy job. Is this like
I think
the rest of the Big 12?
I think there's some jealousy among the coaches. Like, the last thing that they want is for Oklahoma to get good on defense, because sure, like, if that happens, they've already been screwed. But if Oklahoma gets good on defense, I mean, there, nobody has a chance. So I think they just didn't want to recognize, because like,
you recognize that Oklahoma has all these people. Like, yeah, put nine players from Iowa State on the first team. Guess what? They're not, you know, kids from Texas that we're going to recruit. They're just, they're guys that they find off of the street. I mean, like, if Oklahoma is now dominating the all-league team and winning, like, they're, like, why give them something else to you know, use for marketing purposes in all their recruiting?
Sure.
I just kind of think that that's a little bit of a factor. Because the same went for Oklahoma State, too.
Yeah. That's about as smug as you'll hear Lincoln Riley after a game like that. And even Alex Grinch said as much during his post-game session as well. I think it surprised everybody. I think we talked about it on the U40 on Thursday. It was like, what are we missing here? Isaiah Thomas had been phenomenal this year. And, you know, I'm definitely in the group of, like, it's really not that big of a deal, but it's a big deal to Isaiah Thomas. He worked his ass off.
It's a big deal to the kids. Yeah, the guy.
Yeah, he deserves to be rewarded for all the blood, sweat, tears, and all the bullshit that they had to go through. I mean, I think that we got so wrapped up in this idea of having the season, and once the season got going, it was like everything was fine. Like, they've still, like, the players, the coaches, the families, everybody have made such a huge sacrifice to even get to where we are now. I mean, it sucks. And, you know, it's funny that you said about the bowl game stuff, Gary. I was thinking after the game, it's like, everybody should just take their masks off and have, like, just a nice, like, just have a breath for a second out on the field. And it's like, you can't really do that. Like, you gotta stay with it. You got a game coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, it's, and that's probably a good thing, because the last thing you want is, you know, having to quarantine kids for another month waiting for a bowl game to play. Sure. I mean, like Lincoln said, when I asked him last week, he's like, what does a bowl game look like to you? He said a road game. So, I mean, they're going to play one more game. It's going to come pretty quick. And then they're going to get to live kind of normal lives. But Alex Grinch was like, yeah, we got winter conditioning coming up. I was like, damn.
What'd you make of the mid-game report that he's going to be interviewing for the Arizona job?
I think it would be a huge mistake. We've seen coaches take that job. You and I what I think is weird about the state of Arizona and football, you and I took a drive to Tucson just because we wanted to go to their campus and see the football stadium and all that stuff. Is the University of Arizona the only main university that their campus is more like the Aggie school than it is the main campus? Like Arizona State.
Like the flagship.
Yeah, like Arizona University State has it all,
state
man.
University.
I mean, there's Ohio State, obviously. But yeah, like, why would you go to Arizona instead of Arizona State?
Oh, man.
And it's, be in Tempe. I mean, and
I don't want to judge an entire city just based off of what we saw when we drove through, but I could probably do without getting down to Tucson, Arizona ever again.
Tucson's a little bit of a hellhole. I was shocked
and
by that.
Not to mention,
and the campus was beautiful, but the rest of the town was just like, man, that's not even like Stillwater good.
It's a bad football program too. I think that at the end of the day, like, you stay around Oklahoma, and especially if you can talk a couple guys into coming back, and I know that we'll be talking about that here in the months to come, in the weeks to come, but like, you come back, you do it again with this defense. And I think, you know, you come out of 2021 thinking, if you're Alex Grinch, you could really have a nice setup somewhere if you if you're able to replicate what you did this year. I think the
fact that Oklahoma, I mean, depending on what happens with who comes back, but they could be seriously in the running as a top two team going into next year. And if their defense is still humming and even getting better, Alex Grinch is going to get a much better job than Arizona. Arizona, it just kills coaches' careers.
Yeah.
It's a coach killer of a job.
That's a job that, I don't know. It's like, I think that's a job that, I don't want to say Alex Grinch is too good for the university, for Arizona, but at the same time, Alex Grinch is too good for Arizona. I don't know. Maybe I'm riding on a little bit of a high, but like, he... don't take that job, Alex Grinch. Do not take that job.
No, I would tell him the same thing. Do not do it.
I you know who else would probably tell him the same thing? He could call Mike Stoops. He could call Kevin Sumlin. Either one of those guys probably tell him the same thing. He can do much, much better.
Probably Rich Rodriguez would tell him the same thing, too.
Yeah, no doubt. Unless he gave him the number to his secretary.
Let's do this real quick.
Eskridge Lexus is all about embracing the best. That's why they are the official travel partner of the Soonerscoop.com podcasts. So it's time for us to recognize the Sooners best with our Eskridge Lexus Player of the Game.
All right, the Eskridge Lexus Player of the Game brought to you by Eskridge Lexus in Oklahoma City at Eskridge. And the boys always repping Sooner Scoop and sponsoring the post-game show. We certainly appreciate that. All the 2021s are now in at Eskridge Lexus, so go check it out. A lot of great new features in some of the cars. Not as much driving this year, but you know, we got to take the new ES out, and it's just a fantastic car. You know, the RXs we've driven before, the LSs, the big sedans, those are fantastic. They've got a lot of new gadgets and toys in there. The cruise control to me is so much better than it's ever been with the radar detection and all that. But go check them out, EskridgeLexus.com, and tell them that you are a scooper, that you listen to the Scoop podcast or you remember Soonerscoop.com. And even though they've got the December to Remember sales event on, you can get even better deals as a Scoop subscriber and a Scoop podcast listener. December to Remember sales event going on. So you know they've got good deals going, but go get you a better deal and let them know that, hey, I'm a Sooner Scooper. So give me the better deal. And they will. So EskridgeLexus.com, go check them out online, even if you're from out of state. Probably worth your drive up, and you're probably going to be around here anywhere anyway. Just appreciate them. 405-755-9000 is the number, EskridgeLexus.com. Go check them out. So, Eddie, I'll just let you go first because I you can say that there's a lot of people, but I think there's only really one answer to this question, the Eskridge Lexus Player of the Game today.
I think it's it's almost a little bit of a no-brainer in my opinion. I'm going to go Trey Brown.
Yes, that's it. That has to be it.
The plays that he made in the special teams, the plays that, you know, the obvious play that he made there at the end of the game, that's that won him the game. And, you know, maybe right time, right place. But it's kind of funny that both interceptions that he had, that one and then the one against Texas, fairly poorly thrown balls. But at the same time, you still got to make the play. So
and the sack of Ellinger, you got to throw it in there, too.
Trey Brown for getting through all of what he has, too, because it's he's had, you know, obviously I think his history has been well documented as far as, you know, losing his mother and then just kind of going with the ups and downs of having to go through a new defense. A lot of people were ready to get rid of him and, you know, just a job well done.
Yeah. Trey Brown, you are our Eskridge Lexus Player of the Game. The kickoff returns.
We'll send him the car.
No, he won't. Model 1/16th scale. You can't drive it, though. No engine. Yeah, so, I mean, moving on, tomorrow, the college playoff show, the final rankings will come out. Clemson's definitely going to be in there. Alabama, I think win or lose, they're going to be in there.
Sure.
If they lose, though, it gets interesting.
If they lose, I mean, Florida, there's going to be a lot of people that think Florida should be in. I am not one of those people, but...
Should Florida be in above Ohio State if they win?
That's a good question. The thing that sucks about Ohio State is I think Ohio State's probably one of the top four teams. It comes down to the games played scenario.
On paper, they definitely are.
Sure. And, I mean, they did struggle a little bit today in the first half. They, you know, were able to kind of pull away from Northwestern, who
The problem is Northwestern doesn't throw the ball in a way that challenges where Ohio State has problems, which is their secondary.
Oh, that's a fact.
I mean, there's no way. I don't think there's any way that Ohio State can beat Clemson or Alabama with Mac Jones or Trevor Lawrence.
I would agree.
Devontae Smith annihilates them.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I mean, basically what I'm saying is it doesn't matter who's in the playoff because Clemson and Alabama are playing for the title.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah, I'd probably agree with that too. I was a little surprised that Notre Dame just got so just
34-10 is the final.
Just pounded today. I mean, it was quick too. All of a sudden I look up, I was, you know, during the postgame stuff and or during the Zoom, and it's like all of a sudden it's 21-3 just out of nowhere. And that was after Notre Dame.
It's a little
field goal after they intercepted Lawrence. They had the ball inside the Clemson red zone.
And that's a little scary because Notre Dame's a good team. I mean, I watched most of that North Carolina game. North Carolina's a good team, and Notre Dame pretty much bitch slapped them in the second half.
Yeah.
I don't know if OU could beat Notre Dame.
I think it'd be a really good game.
I'd like to see OU play Ohio State.
Well, we tried to have them scheduled a couple weeks ago,
I know,
right?
Yeah.
Last week. Need to hit up Kevin Wilson, see if they can figure that out.
I already did. They weren't interested.
I will say, like, whoever Oklahoma plays in the Cotton Bowl or wherever they play, I think it's going to be the Cotton Bowl. That should be a pretty good game. That's going to be a game that the fan base should be excited about. It's going to be against a good SEC opponent, you would think.
Yes. And if it's A&M, I'm down for A&M.
If I could pick anybody, I think that that's the game that I would want to watch.
For OU fans to have that fuel against Billy Lucci and 12th man and Edmund, I'm going to pray for that tonight when I go to bed.
I think that'd be a lot of fun. And at the Cotton Bowl where, you know, there's a little bit of history between the two schools as far as, you know, the last time that they played down there and kind of the disaster that was against Johnny, it'd be a lot of fun.
Boy, that was not.
Let me ask you: do you think that, and this might be a stupid question, but do you think there'd be anybody that opts out from Oklahoma not to play in a bowl game?
I don't know. I'd love to know. I don't think it would be Ronnie Perkins because
he needs as many games as possible.
He wants
right?
games on film. He's said that before. He needs as much film as he can get. God, I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a feel for that. I mean, it would have to be a surprise like Perrion Winfrey or something. By the way, did you notice Alex Grinch basically came out and said, yeah, you know, Perrion Winfrey comes back next year. He could be a really high draft pick. He was selling him. So
I noticed that. And I also, I guess there's three things. I noticed that. I noticed, you know, I would love to hear the pitch that they're going to tell some of these guys as far as why you should come back to school. I mean, is there anybody, do you think, on this team right now that they will just absolutely say, you got to go. You got to go now. Like, does Ramondre Stevenson need more tape?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, it's going to be fascinating.
He didn't particularly dominate the last couple of weeks.
No, he didn't. And, you know, how much is that on the offensive line and not being able to block up? It's going to be fascinating to see some of the decisions that are made here in the next couple of weeks. And then not to mention, he kind of broke the news on Twitter. And I don't know if maybe I just was a little surprised by how it was put out there, but Caleb Kelly tweeted that he'll be coming back next year.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I guess insinuated that he
could be the
back.
Only player
not an
to,
official.
Could be the only player to win six rings is what he said.
Yeah. Which, you know, this defense was without some guys that they were going to count on going into the season. And for them to play at the level that they did, I think says a whole lot about the direction of where this thing is headed. I mean, people forget that Justin Harrington was basically a shoe-in to start at one of the safety positions.
Yeah.
He didn't get a single snap from him.
Well, and I think a lot of it, you know, if Alex Grinch did go to Arizona, I think that would change things for a lot of guys.
Yeah. I almost kind of find it laughable. I don't think that there's any way that why do you interview for a job if you're not going to take it? I don't know.
But Eddie, we have to also worry about if Lincoln Riley takes that Auburn job since he interviewed on Thursday.
I forgot about that. I mean, what the hell? God.
People, they know that they can throw anything out there and get attention.
It's just, it drives me insane. And in what world would somebody think that that is even plausible? Like, I want to know more. I want to get inside of the brain of somebody that reads that and says, I can see that happening.
You don't have to. You could just go to the Crimson Corner.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone there just wants us to tell them something that they can cheer about.
Yeah.
They don't care if it's true. Some care if it's true. Others don't.
I mean, they got something to cheer about today, and people are just constantly bitching about Lincoln Riley play calling in the second half. It's like, be happy. They just won the Big 12 championship. Like, yeah. there's other fish to fry here. There's more important things. They won.
That was the best team they played all year, and they won.
I know. It's just people want more, and I get it. That's why people are fans. But it just and I'm not sticking up for Lincoln Riley in some of the play calling. Like, can he get better? Yes. I also tweeted this, Carrie. I think sometimes we forget Lincoln Riley's 37 years old. He's not. It's not like he's been doing this for 25 years.
Yeah.
He has room. He has room to improve just as much as, Spencer Rattler has room to improve over the course of a season. And I think that he made those steps. Guess who's coaching him? Lincoln Riley.
Well, I thought some of the calls he made today when he decided to punt, when Munchau nailed it down to the 1 yard line when no one else was going to, nobody knew where the football was because they all bought the deke from the punt returner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that ended up changing the momentum of the game. Like, that was a good call. And normally, he probably would have gone for it right there. By the way, alternates in the championship game again. That was interesting.
Yeah, they need to figure out a way to burn all of those, but
they might have done it because they knew it was the last time.
For another day. I just hate them. I hate the concept of them. I hate the look of them. Oh, you could do much better.
It might have been because it was the last time they wore them and they didn't really get to wear them this year.
No, maybe they need to. That needs to be the last time that they wore them, although they've had success wearing them.
Yeah. I thought that Lincoln had said that they were only going to do it for that Texas game and that was it.
Oh, wearing them?
Yeah. And then they wore them again.
So he lied to us.
He's a head coach.
He can do that.
All right. I think that's going to do it. Sooners win it. They are your Big 12 champions 6 times in a row now, but a much-needed 27-21 victory. Tomorrow, we will find out where the Sooners are going. Yes, they will announce the bigger bowls along with the top four in the playoff. So you will find out OU's bowl destination tomorrow on Sunday. If you're listening to this today, on Sunday then. So probably the Cotton Bowl. That's our best guess. That's kind of been where they've been slotted for because the Sugar Bowl is part of the college football playoff this year. So that's how that's going to work out. So Eddie, I appreciate it as always.
Absolutely. It's wild that we got to the finish line. I know that we had some doubts in, all the way back in May and June, but just for them to be able to play and then have the season that they did was a lot of fun.
So now we move on to the bowl game and dream of what could be next year, at least until Lincoln Riley takes the Auburn job. So thanks for listening to this edition of the Eskridge Lexus podcast. Go check out Eskridge Lexus at EskridgeLexus.com. And until the bowl game, we'll see you guys then. Thanks for listening to SoonerScoop.com podcast.